Seger. Old-time rock and roll, Jason's classic cut on a Friday. A fine choice. Fine choice. We are going to talk Packer draft, but we're also going to talk about the mayor of Green Bay's effort to bring the NFL draft here. We'll get to that. I do want to, one more time, I want at least for now, and then I'll do this for the next week. A fifth grade student in Orinda, California is doing a project on Wisconsin, and in a letter to a newspaper, reached out for help from the people of Wisconsin. I'm hijacking that and asking you to help out Sydney by sending for an 11-year-old in California doing a project on Wisconsin. What would you want Sydney to know? Email it to me at jerrybaderShow@mwcradio.com. jerrybaderShow@mwcradio.com. And I'll get it to Sydney. And we need these by Friday because that's a week before his project is due. Okay, enough of that for now. As you know, yesterday was a whirlwind day. Actually, the last 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Fascinating days in Wisconsin politics. On Tuesday, Judge Rudolph Randa issued an injunction halting the John Doe 2.0, as I call it, which is an absolute witch hunt to try to stifle political free speech by conservative groups in Wisconsin. 24 hours later, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals issued a stay, but what many people didn't realize is it was very technical. That essentially Judge Randa, before he could do what he did, had to rule the appeal as frivolous. So the very next day, yesterday, Judge Randa did just that. And again, John Doe 2.0 is stopped in its tracks. The big question now is, what are the political ramifications of this? That is covered in the Roth Report, a product at Right Wisconsin, put together by Colin Roth. He spends a lot of the Roth Report on that today, and he joins us now on the phone to discuss it. Colin, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. On a scale of 1 to 10, how big of a defeat is this for liberals slash Democrats in Wisconsin?
Well, I think it's quite significant and not out of the woods yet. So
right.
Maybe I would put it at about a 7 or an 8.
Okay.
But I've never seen anything like this as far as this type of judicial ping pong, I think, is how it's being described by some. But this is a significant blow to this investigation.
And you're right about the ping pong. It's really very interesting. And I'm not going to say I predicted it, but I wasn't surprised at how quickly Judge Randa reacted to the Seventh Circuit because, and I know others besides I have said this, but if you read his entire ruling, it is a tremendous slapdown on the prosecutors in the John Doe 2.0.
It absolutely is. And he uses... He seemed to be almost emboldened by the McCutcheon case in the Supreme Court. He cites that often. And even the ruling yesterday, he mentions that it almost appeared that the Milwaukee defendants hadn't even read his complaint, which was also a bit prickly and probably not something the prosecutors would like to see.
Now, I see two political ramifications for this. And you know, one you talk about is just how off the deep end liberals are, that this has been taken away from them. Clearly, they wanted to use the specter of scandal. And as you said, it's not done yet. It still has to go fully to the Circuit Court of Appeals, but Seventh Circuit. But, you know, clearly they plan on using that specter of a scandal. What's your take? My opinion is the bigger element here is, you know very well, these conservative groups that are targeted have been frozen into silence. The Wall Street Journal did a really good piece on that earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
And them not being on the sidelines is what I see as the really big political outcome of this.
It certainly is. And you know, it's yet to be determined how on the sidelines they are for the rest of the year, how this plays out. But absolutely, as far as the John Doe investigation has been integral to the Democratic strategy to win in November. Even the release of the 27,000 pages of emails in February, that was still predicated, even though that was old news, that was predicated on raising the specter of more corruption in the administration here. Chris Larson has been trying to raise money on it. Mike Tate has been reckless in saying, you know, you can assume they're finding serious things. This is a serious part of their strategy, and it's something that I think they were hoping to use.
Yeah, I don't. There's absolutely no question about that. And in fact, I felt, and this is another area, Colin, where I think it's a big loss for them. I think they were trying to conflate and just downright confuse people.
Yes.
that the email dump was part of John Doe 2.0.
Yes, I agree with that. And groups like American Bridge PAC, this Clinton-aligned super PAC, they were in here, you know, saying, oh, another scandal for Governor Walker and even conflating Governor Walker with Chris Christie. A lot of this is about taking Governor Walker out at the knees with hopes of trying to beat him in 14, but definitely trying to take him out at the knees for 16.
Talking with Colin Roth of the Roth Report at Right Wisconsin, you know, here's the other thing, and I want your take on this. What's getting a lot of discussion is the actual legal argument that Judge Randa made, and you can correct me if this isn't the way you read it. What Randa seemed to be saying to me is, you know, even if there was collusion here between political parties between political campaigns, Governor Walker's in the state Senate, Republican campaigns in the recall, even if there was coordination, collusion, not the right word, if there was coordination, it doesn't matter because for there to be corruption, there has to be quid pro quo. And these groups agree with Scott Walker and Senate Republicans and vice versa. So there's no trying to persuade a position. There's simply free speech trying to support an existing position. So even if there was coordination that's perceived as illegal, it's not illegal because there's no corruption. That is seen as a potentially nationally pivotal ruling.
Absolutely, and I'm not an attorney, and getting into these campaign finance laws as far as issue advocacy and express advocacy and the various legalese terms and what they say. But also remember, Judge Randa isn't the first to say that there was no crime here. Judge Gregory Pearson, the John Doe judge, quashed the subpoenas earlier this year, saying there appears to be no crime. So this is really the second judge to say that there is no crime here as far as campaign finance violations.
You know what I chuckled at in the last couple of days, Colin? Remember all this debate over whether conservatives were making a mistake in challenging the prosecutors because they might just tick them off? That seems rather quaint now, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And the attorney for Eric O'Keefe and the Club for Growth, David Rivkin, they are suing these prosecutors in their professional and personal capacity. And this lawsuit is extremely significant, because they're hoping to deter some of these future abuses by actually going after some of these guys personally.
That's a good point, you know, and that because and I know there are others, but I've put a lot of this on assistant Milwaukee County DA Bruce Lyon-Graff and his boss, John Chisholm. And I realize it's broader than that. But in terms of being most out of control, to me, it seems pretty clear that it is those two. And if anything here, if their complete, absolute prosecutorial, abuse of prosecutorial power is curbed to some degree or another, then I think this is all worth it.
Oh, absolutely. And as I say in my piece today, Right Wisconsin, I think the opportunity here is for Republicans to start pushing real GAB reform and real John Doe reform as far as John Doe laws. I think this case, is, especially the way it looks to be crumbling, and the very serious concern about civil rights abuses, this is something that the state legislature can run on. This is something they can tackle. And Senator Tom Tiffany and Representative Dave Craig were out yesterday with a statement saying they want to start looking into the GAB's activities in this John Doe, noting that a lot of it has been very, very secret and there's no oversight or transparency.
Yeah, if this entire experience doesn't teach Republicans what a mistake the GAB was in going that direction, I don't think anything will. But you just brought up a good point, too, Colin, to wrap this up. This isn't just about political John Doe probes. What we've learned here is how at a complete disadvantage a target in a John Doe probe is.
Absolutely. And the rules, I mean, in a perverse way, these rules, these secrecy orders are meant to help, you know, the target to keep their name secret. But as we all know, we know who the targets are, and they are bound by these secrecy orders in which they can't speak. And this is this really does have a chilling effect when your home is raided and you can't talk to anybody about it and you can't put your side of the story out there, even though it's in the newspaper.
All right. Colin Roth, his Roth Report at RightWisconsin.com is must read. I use it for show prep every day out there. Colin, thanks a lot for joining us.
Appreciate it, Jerry. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Colin Roth of the Roth Report. All right, on to other things. I actually, in the time that we have left, I got a lot of things to get to, particularly in the next 10 minutes, 10:30 to 11. I've got what I think is a very unusual subject I want to share with you. It's 10:17.
For all things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.